Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It's August. We're all getting ready to head back to school. Many of our college students en route back to school. Many of those young people who were gathered in New Orleans just a few weeks ago, getting ready to return to an academic year, a school year, and fond memories of gathering this summer. We're going to revisit the National Youth Gathering that took place in New Orleans. I believe it was the 13th National Youth Gathering of the LCMS, and quite the crew in studio today to help us revisit that and many years of the National Youth Gathering and youth ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about them on our website, KFU. O.org. They're in the sponsor section. Look for the CUW logo. Joining me in studio today, quite the lineup of guests, the Reverend Dr. Terry Dittmer, Senior Director and Youth Ministry Specialist, LCMS Office of National Mission. Terry, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Good to have you in studio today. And Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of Youth Ministry, the LCMS Office of National Mission. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Andy.
Absolutely. Always good to have you in studio. And right between these two guys, the one who keeps an eye on both of them, the Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director, LCMS Office of National Mission. Bart, welcome back.
Thank you. And who's keeping an eye on me? That's the question.
That's the ultimate question. Well, gentlemen, a pleasure to have you all in studio today, and what a great topic. Everybody's kind of recovered now, I think, from the National Youth Gathering, hopefully, gotten back to somewhat of a normal routine after convention and National Youth Gathering. What a great event. It was fun for us, for KFUO, to get to be there. I think this was the first time that we've been at an LCMS National Youth Gathering. Is that right, Terry?
We used to call in on the morning show and give an update or report.
That meant you were up early and on the phone.
Yeah. But you don't get much sleep at a youth gathering.
Anyways. No. You can sleep when you get home, right? Or on the way home.
Right. Absolutely.
Terry, when did LCMS youth gatherings begin?
Well, I was going over that in my mind. I think we would date the current style of youth gathering date back to 1973. That was an all-Lutheran youth gathering instigated by the American Lutheran Church, Lutheran Church in America, and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the first one was in Houston at the new, it was the Astrodome, wasn't it? There were 15,000 from the three church bodies. Then the next one was 1976. That also was a pan-Lutheran. But the space was too small, especially for the American Lutheran Church, who had a long history of 15, 16, 17,000 kids just from the ALC. And we had 25,000 total in 76. So the three church bodies decided to each have their own gathering. And so the first LCMS National Youth Gathering would have been 1980.
And that was, where did that take place?
Fort Collins, Colorado, on the University of Colorado campus, or Colorado State University. I got to get my colleges right. Rejoice in His Presence was the theme. Jack Preuss was the president of Synod at that time, and there's an iconic picture of him standing on the highest peak in, almost like he's standing on the point of the Rocky Mountains.
What was the intended purpose of the youth gathering at that time?
Well, really to affirm young people in the faith, and then to catechize, instruct, give them the opportunity for celebration, to a certain extent, the youth culture, especially the energy and enthusiasm that are a part of a national youth gathering. So it's really an affirmation and instructional purpose.
How would you describe that first gathering and maybe what we learned from that? What were you involved in the gathering at that time?
I've been involved in all of that. Yes, I joined the staff in 1979. And so kind of got in on the last part of the planning, but very definitely a part of that gathering. It was small. We had 5,000 people. We thought 5,000 people was a good crowd, but one of our gatherings numbered 33,000, so you could see exponentially how the gatherings increased in size. It was on a college campus, and all the food service was available. We used Moby Gym, which was a quaint little multi-purpose arena. The sound system came out of a kid's bedroom. And if you saw the soundboard these days, you would marvel at what we were able to do.
It wouldn't fit in a kid's bedroom.
No. But it was an interesting adventure and venture for the Synod at that time. And Leroy Wilkie, who was director of D.C. ministry, I think, at Concordia St. Paul at that time, he and I were walking across the campus right before the evening meal the first night. And God sent a rain shower, and out of the sun burst forth behind it. Sounds biblical, doesn't it? And a rainbow came over this campus, and it was a full rainbow, and it was sort of a sign, I think, that God was going to bless that event, and He certainly has over the last 36-37 years.
So that means you've been in youth ministry for that, for 38 years then? 36, or 37 years? Well, been here, I should say.
I've been in this building since, 37 years.
37 years?
Yep.
Wow. And you still live to tell about it?
Oh, yeah.
How has the gathering changed, grown, it evolved over those 36 years?
Well, you could do a dissertation on that, especially when you think about generations. Baby boomers were a generation that liked to be entertained. And some of, as you look back historically, you look at the 1980 and 83 and 86 gatherings, where the primary audience was still baby boomers, there was an entertainment element that was very definitely a part of the gathering. As the gathering has evolved, I think the emphasis on teaching, biblical study, liturgical worship tradition has come back into play, and really followed the interest in it. The interests and direction that young people want to take today.
What did it take in terms of planning in the early years?
That's not altogether different than the planning today. There are just more people involved in the planning. We'd have meetings in Colorado, and which was a really difficult thing to do. No. Meetings in Colorado, and the staff was more heavily involved in plan and the support back home. But really, not that much different than the planning that goes on today.
Mark, let's talk a little bit about the planning that goes on today. I mean, this occurs every 3 years. How many people are involved? A rough figure. I know it's a
sure.
Pretty,
so we have, as Terry's talking about, from the planning perspective, which is everything from logistics to the actual program itself to our volunteer teams, we have about 250 core volunteers that work for anywhere from 1 year to 3 years on the process and the planning. Meet at different times, a lot of emails, that type of stuff. Certainly that takes place. New technologies that we use to have those meetings and those people come together. Then in addition, we're blessed with, we had about 220, 230 what we call community life builders or CLBs, which are people who basically dedicate a week, in this case in New Orleans, to be trained and then serve the adults and young people at the event. And then we were blessed with almost 600, in some ways over 600 in different capacities, of young adult volunteers, which are age 19 to 25, who come in, do a short training, and then really just are amazing hands and feet that serve the gathering and the participants that are there. So then you're talking basically about 1,000 people or more, and plus with locals too, it's well over 1,000 people who volunteer at the event and serve and help plan.
So if those CLBs, community life builders, known as yellow shirts at the gathering, right? And then the young adult volunteers known as orange shirts. Because they wear those orange shirts all week.
Absolutely.
The yellow shirts. Now, the team that I want to be on, we don't call them by their shirts, though. That's the media team.
Right.
The black shirts. Yes. Those black shirts, so they hide the background.
Absolutely. They do an amazing job, too, capturing the photos, videos, everything of the event, and telling the story of the event and of LCMS congregations that are in attendance, for sure.
Yeah. It's just an overwhelming number of people that it takes to make that happen. Why so many people from all over the church body?
Yeah, I think probably Terry can speak to that, too. I think one thing that's always been great about youth gatherings is it's people who care about young people, not only in their individual congregation, but in the synod in general. And so they give up their time and efforts to support them and to bring them together. And so you see people from different walks of life, their pastors, DCEs, Lutheran school teachers, public school teachers, people who have gifts to give to the church and to young people, as well as many lay people who work in a variety and serve in a variety of different vocations who provide that and really are part of the conversation and then also give of their time to serve. And it's a really neat thing to get that energy, ideas, as well as just the amazing heart that they show when they go and serve others in the name of Jesus.
And I would add to that, we've been very diligent over the 30-some-odd years to be inclusive of the whole church body. So our planners didn't just come from the Midwest, but literally from the coast and all the surrounding states and districts. As well, one of the things I think is a marvel of the gathering planning staff, the whole is the people who bring gifts that don't necessarily find their way into congregational life, but suddenly there's this event that can utilize their skills. Like the when we moved past the kid with the sound system from his room, and we had a layman who taught sound engineering to come in and design the sound system. He wouldn't ordinarily, because he did that for arenas and stadiums, he wouldn't ordinarily do that for congregational life. But his skill and ability allowed allowed special use of his gifts.
How does, Bart, how does the National Youth Gathering fit into the big picture of Synod and our mission as the LCMS and the Office of National Mission?
Sure. I think the gathering is to encourage youth ministry where it is actually happening, which is in the congregations. So it's really to be a support and a resource and a strengthening of where the ministry is happening all the time. So I know it's a big event and people come and they get very excited about it and it can be, you know, quite transformational for people, but it really pales in comparison and doesn't take the place of all the work that's going on all of the time in that 3-year cycle in their congregation. So strengthening those youth, affirming those youth, strengthening those adults, particularly those laymen and women who are volunteers to do youth work day in and day out in their congregations. I think that's really the role of the gathering. And Mark can talk about that, the way they strategically talk about where the gathering fits within the work of the youth ministry department. You might think that like the gathering is like the top of this pyramid or something, but that's not really the way they even talk about it. They're doing a lot of resourcing and training and equipping of not only youth, but of those adult leaders. And the gathering just plays one part of that, really strengthening the ongoing work at the congregation level.
Mark, where does this, where does gathering fit into that picture?
I think I was going to speak a little bit to what Terry has said, probably about some things that have changed over the years, is that our ability now with social media and technology, I mean, just adding a website for us, which was basically, I think we had one in 04, but didn't utilize it much. It was probably 07, is our ability to engage with congregations and participating in congregations throughout the whole 3-year process. And so that is really, you know, Terry can speak more to maybe how easy it was for congregations to maybe not be engaged with our office throughout the planning process. Kind of had it on the calendar. You knew there were deadlines for maybe payments and things like that, but how we're able to resource more and more readily and respond to things that happen, to where there are Bible studies throughout the whole process, to where we're always amazed now at how connected groups that attend now are with their adult leaders and with the congregation back home. And I think that's a combination of, yes, maybe some of the resourcing we do, but then also we have an adult leader Facebook group that does an amazing job of encouraging one another and giving ideas about keeping it about that day in, day out ministry that's happening week in, week out, coming to being in worship together on Sunday mornings, encouraging young people in that, as well as the adult leaders. And I think that's one thing that's great about the gathering, is that we kind of look at the gathering as one tool that you have in your toolbox for youth ministry in the congregational life. There are many other tools. And at the core of that's going to be the relationship that pastors and DCEs, parents, and adults are having with young people and sharing the faith and love of Jesus Christ there in that place. And so then that's the same way too, that we have a charge now. Yeah, the gathering's open or over, but we're going to continue to have resources connected to the theme. And that way there's continued study in God's word, taking them back to maybe some of the speakers, but then also how does this now engage into your everyday life and continue that, the encouraging the ministry that was already happening back home. And then also to provide resources.
I think for the youth from our congregation, one of the outcomes of this has been they participated in the servant event at the gathering, which is, I think, a highlight for many of the youth who attend the gathering. They participated in a servant event, and they said, you know, really all we did was paint a classroom at a local school. And for us, it was really quite simple. It really wasn't that complicated. It was pretty easy. We showed up, we painted, and we visited with the person there at the school. But for that person at the school, that meant the world to her. Mm-hmm. It was such a, you know, for her, she saw that as such a generous thing, use of our time, and you know, for us to come spend the part of our day there painting, that was just huge for her. And then we realized we can do a lot in our own community, that things that we overlook all the time. So as they came back, they started, that was one of their goals, was to start seeking out opportunities right there in their very own community where they could serve, doing something as simple as that. You know, for them, it was just painting, but looking for simple opportunities that can make a difference in their own community, whether it be simple or big. Yeah.
Praise God for that.
There's always been a strong servant component to the gathering program. How many hundred of thousand meals did we pack?
Over 500,000.
And then the blood drive.
Almost 1,000 pints given there.
So there's always this component of living out the faith in a positive, strong way. And the kids do take it home.
Mark, you shared some numbers there from the servant event, and shared, you know, the some of the numbers in terms of volunteers and the team preparing. Any other numbers, significant numbers that stand out for you?
Sure. We had an infographic put together by LCMS Communications for us, and some of the things that were completed there. And like you said, Andy, we continue to receive, whether it's articles that are on the web, I get notes, Terry gets notes, other people get notes in our office about the impact that it made on New Orleans. And I think it's great for the young people to hear that, to, like you said, to take that home, and that there are places right there that they can serve together as a congregation or as a youth group. And some of the other numbers that one, and certainly want to give thanks to our LCMS congregations who supported our We Raise fundraising effort to receive resources for our food packing event through Feeding Children Everywhere. And we packed over 500,000 meals, which was great. Basically, we split those up between a third stayed in New Orleans, a third went to the Houston area and East Texas area to deal with like the flooding and things that were happening, as there's still recovery going on there. And then a third will be going to areas in Africa to help with hunger relief there as well. So that was a blessing. We estimate that we easily had 33,000 hours served in the city of New Orleans. We put 11,000 young people and adults out into the city over 3 days. We had exactly 791 pints of blood. There's a great story of that enabled blood to be donated basically from New Orleans to Baton Rouge with some of the issues that were happening there. They would not have been able to do that without our young people being there providing and donating blood. We also had 1,000 fleece hats that were made and given to homeless shelters in New Orleans. We had 52 participants donated hair for those that are dealing with recovering from cancer treatment. And then also we had 900 plus backpacks that were filled with supplies and will be given out to communities within New Orleans that are in need. And then also we had one house for Habitat for Humanity framed inside the convention center as well.
I saw that frame going up. That was pretty neat to see that being put together right there in the convention center. And from here, we're looking forward now to 2019.
You got it. Already planning. And running.
Where are we headed in 2019?
We're heading north to Minneapolis, Minnesota. So we are excited for a new gathering host city. Certainly different location for us to be that far north. And some exciting things that we're looking forward to being probably closer to a lot of our core audience, which will be, I think, a great blessing to exciting things that can come from that planning process.
Have we, Terry, I know the last probably 6 or 7 gatherings, we stayed mostly Florida and Georgia, Texas, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Have we been in Minnesota before for a gathering?
No, we've not been farther north than Fort Collins, Colorado, which is not very far north. So this is going to be a really new experience for us to think that we might have to sell long sleeve T-shirts in the middle of summer.
To be outside, not air conditioning.
That's right.
Right.
But the gathering will be in the new Viking Stadium. The Minneapolis Convention Center provide experiential learning and interest centers. There are some other interesting cultural things, opportunities in Minneapolis that intrigue us. So it's going to be an exciting event, to be sure.
And we'll all have to learn to speak Minnesotan in order to fit in there. Yeah.
Well, the amazing thing is that Minneapolis is one of the most culturally, ethnically diverse cities.
Really?
In the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really just amazing. And the district and the congregations are doing amazing things. So I'm very excited about the service projects and the impact that we can have on the city. They're going to a new city with a lot of ethnic diversity in neighborhoods where congregations are working or where the Minnesota South District is planting congregations. So that'll be exciting, I think, to see the impact we can have on a new city when you have 11 or 12,000 youth who do those service projects and work in Minneapolis.
Well, we have just about 2 minutes left. And one of the things that I really wanted to share today is thanks to God for Terry's many years of service here and the many gatherings that you've been involved in. And I know in convention, we recognize this as well. Bart, do you have the resolution there to share with us?
I do have the resolution. I have it. I can read it. And I don't even think Terry really knew this was happening until after the fact. So this was the resolution that was passed to celebrate the ministry of Reverend Dr. Terry K. Dittmer. It was 1601, whereas Reverend Dr. Terry K. Dittmer was brought to the waters of holy baptism on September 5th, 1948, and ordained into the office of the Holy Ministry on June 23rd, 1974. And whereas Reverend Dr. Dittmer has faithfully and capably served the Lord and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Youth Ministry for 37 years, with the past 15 years of service as Director of Youth Ministry for the LCMS, and will retire from ministry following the 2016 National Youth Gathering. And whereas Reverend Dr. Dittmer has strengthened the faith of many and brought into the fellowship of our Lord an unknown number through his Christ-centered commitment to the young people of the LCMS. Therefore, be it resolved that the 2016 LCMS Convention join in thanks and praise to God for Reverend Dr. Dittmer and his years of faithful service and outstanding work for the LCMS. And be it further resolved that the LCMS extend its sincere appreciation to Reverend Dr. Dittmer and pray God's richest blessing on him as the Lord guides his walk of faith in his retirement.
Mm. Amen. Thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. Well, Terry, thank you for your many years of service and God's blessings on your well-deserved retirement.
Oh, thank you.
Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to talk with you all today about the National Youth Gathering. Looking forward to 2019 in Minneapolis, and we'll have to catch up from time to time, Terry, and hear how you're enjoying retirement.
I was afraid I'd never come back to KFUO.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Terry Dittmer, Senior Director, Youth Ministry Specialist in the LCMS Office of National Mission. The Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of Youth Ministry in the LCMS Office of National Mission. And Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director, LCMS Office of National Mission. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. It was great.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll hear from one of the speakers from this year's National Youth Gathering, Shelley Haynes, DCE, and a speaker on Monday night at the youth gathering. The theme was humility. So stick around. More Faith and Family after this.
This is Corey Smith. I'm DCE, and I was blessed to serve at a congregation where Terry and his family were members, and it was a blessing that God called me to that congregation because I was able to benefit from Terry's wisdom and encouragement over the years, especially as a young DCE, and I'm just thankful for God putting him in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to do the ministry that God called him to do.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry, the Chancellor of LCMSU, and the host of KFUO's the Student Union. I just wanted to say, hey, Terry Dittmer, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for your tireless love for and devotion to the young people of Christ Church. All of us in Campus Ministry salute you and hope that your retirement is simply fantastic. Go, Terry, go.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The Democrats and Republicans had their say at their national conventions. Neither I, speaking for a nonprofit, nor this radio station can advocate for or against any political party or candidate. But we can share their party platforms when it comes to abortion and related issues. I've developed a brief list of 7 stands by both parties. They include abortion, judicial appointments, funding Planned Parenthood, legislation, Obamacare, end-of-life issues, and international efforts. It can also be printed to share with church members, family, co-workers, and others. Visit lifeissues.org and click on the radio icon for details. Your vote is critical in the presidential election, but don't forget or underestimate the importance of local races. And please get others you know to vote.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and thousands of congregations across the country as they observe Refugee Sunday, a time to celebrate the gifts migrants and refugees bring to the United States. Pick a Sunday that works best for your congregation to celebrate. New resource kits, including bulletin insert and poster, will be available soon. Sign up for our newsletter at lirs.org/rebuildinghope.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.